You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu. We get to go international again today. A couple missionaries joining me in studio. Always fun to have missionaries on home service in studio with us for The Coffee Hour. Joining me today, Andrew and Noelle Schaff, serving the Lord in Taiwan as middle school teachers at Concordia Middle and High School. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
So we're going to start with your story of becoming missionaries. And this, for you guys, a lot of times we've got like, oh, 2 years ago I went on the mission field. But you guys have been on the mission field for a long time.
Yeah, 21 years. This will be our 22nd year.
That is fantastic. So I want to know, going way back 21 years, tell me about the story of your background and how you guys ended up on the mission field.
Well, I'll start a little bit first of all, and then I'll let Noelle go. But my dad was a missionary in Bangladesh and India way before I was born. So I always grew up hearing stories about mission work, and my older brothers and sisters got to go with that with him. And I always was interested in that in my life growing up. And then finally, when I got to college and we were going to graduate, then we had an opportunity, which I'll let Noelle share.
Yeah, it was something for me that was very foreign to my family. None of my family really traveled overseas, but it was something that I knew I was called to do for quite a while when I was a teenager and into college. And we were both a part of mission-minded students at Concordia University and had done some short-term mission trips. And it was at that point that really confirmed it for me that I knew I wanted to go overseas. And we were going to be married after we graduated. And so we were student teaching in the St. Louis area. And we actually visited the LCMS headquarters here to talk to some people about possibilities in world missions. And it was Krista Wiesenauer was here then, and she shared with us about several different schools in Asia and specifically one in Taiwan. And when we saw the pictures and we heard that about Concordia Middle School in Taiwan and how you got to work with the nationals specifically, we just knew that was the school we really wanted to go to. So that's how it got started.
Tell me more about that decision to take the call to go overseas. Tell me about that process 21 years ago, what that was like going through the process then for you.
Well, we did an initial interview and met with a lot of people to talk about, and then they placed us at Concordia in Jai. And you want to add anything?
Well, we were influenced a lot by one other man.
Oh, yes, Al Schmidt. There's a man in Seward named Al Schmidt who also had a lot of connections to schools in Asia. And Al Schmidt also had taken us to dinner around that time and showed us pictures of these schools, like the international school in Shanghai and some in Japan. And then, yeah, it was also some of his influence that we really were drawn to Concordia Middle School. And we went there actually, you know, a young couple just married less than a month and thought, we'll stay a year or two. And the first year was really rough. I mean, we really kind of hated it. But then we thought, we'll give it another year. And the second year was a completely different experience. And we fell in love with the school and our coworkers and Taiwan. And that after that point, we were pretty much like, we're going to be here a while. So
our first year when we moved over to Taiwan, it was just, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Meeting people there for the first time, getting to know a new culture, and then also married lifestyle all in the same time. We lived in a dorm, so very thin walls, and you can hear what everybody is doing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the ideal first year of marriage, but we managed to get through it. And also we taught at a cram school our first year.
Oh,
so we didn't teach at the junior and senior high students. We taught elementary school students for their after school studies until in the evening. So a much different type of experience as that. In our second year, then we were moved to the junior, senior high school, and we enjoyed that much more. Yeah, junior high students are just lovely people. I mean, you know, interesting people.
Yeah. It does take, I think, a special person to teach, to love teaching junior high. That age group can be difficult, but you guys have been doing this for a long time. So I imagine you enjoy working with those kids.
Oh, we love it. It's never boring. And it's just a day of extremes always. So it's either the best day or the worst day of their life. It's pretty much,
Yeah.
So.
Tell me more about cram school. I know this comes up a lot when we talk about people that work in education in Asia, but tell me a little bit more about cram school.
Well, actually, if I could go into a little bit about Concordia Middle School, the campus. Mm-hmm. On our campus, we have a kindergarten that has roughly 500 students.
Wow.
And a cram school that now has probably another 500 students. And the cram school is for elementary grades 1st through 6th. Mm-hmm. And then we have the junior high, which is 7th through 9th, and the senior high, which is 10th through 12th. And the junior senior high, there are probably about over 2,000, between 2,000 and 2,500 students. So altogether on campus, we have about 3,500 kids. And so the cram school, I've done extra work there as well. And we do enjoy it. It's just a different experience from teaching at a national school, like a regular school day school. But that's also a special experience because you have the opportunity to teach Bible there, mm-hmm. and at the kindergarten as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know what a cram school is, it's a school that students will go to after their normal school. Usually it's in the evening, mm-hmm. around 5 o'clock, and it can go all the way until 9 o'clock, some cram schools. And what it is just cramming more of the lessons that they need for their tests in Taiwan. And ours is, of course, English cram school. So they're going there to learn more English so they can do better on their tests. Because everything is working towards their test when they're a senior 3 student or a senior in high school to get to a good college. Mm-hmm. So there are math cram schools and science cram schools and all kinds, but ours is the English one.
English, yeah. And they also teach Bible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's very interesting. Tell me more about just the culture of education in that area, in Taiwan, in Chai. You're talking about cram school, going to school after school. What is that culture of education like where the school is situated in?
Well, I mean, the school day is really long for a Taiwanese student. Our student's school day at CMS is from 7:30 a.m. Most students are there by 7:30 and they clean the school until about 8. And then the classes go from 8 till 5. Mm-hmm. And then many of them will go to 1 or 2 cram schools after that. Mm-hmm. And then some go on Saturday and Sunday as well to cram schools. Yeah, so they can have 10 to 12 hour school days.
Wow.
So education is very important.
It's very mm-hmm. important. Yeah, but you see, we're starting to see some more Western influences or global influences too, like students who are used to watching YouTube or things like that. So you see, I guess, the results of that somewhat too in the way the students are. Yeah.
Yeah.
The more schooling, the better.
Mm-hmm. So
parents are working. So a lot of times students have to live with their grandparents, mm-hmm. and then for time they want to drop them off and be at school. I mean, some of our students have a little bit of time after their main school, like for an hour or so, to eat dinner quick and then go to their next school until 9, and then they have a few hours to do homework, mm-hmm. and then they start again the next day. So, mm-hmm. It's very, very high in priorities, especially for that last test when they're a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys both teach in the middle school. Tell me about what each of you gets to do during the school day.
Right. Well, I'll start. I teach 7th through 9th grade. And for 7th grade, we teach English and Bible. Mm-hmm. So we have our classes are separated into about 15 students or a little bit more for each teacher. And we teach a class of Bible for them. And then we also have something called small group where we choose a topic and each foreign teacher has a different type of topic. For example, mine is cultures and music of different countries around the world. Okay. So it's just we each have a different type of topic to do for that.
Okay.
Then for junior two, we have Bible classes. Junior, which is eighth grade. And then ninth grade is also the last grade of junior high for them. And we have teach Bible classes and English classes. I teach an advanced English of all of these. And for my focus is on novel reading projects and then also Bible stories, of course. And that, so it's a mixture of that. Then for ninth grade, we have a listening course. It's supposed to be for practice of English talking.
For 10th grade.
For 10th grade. Sorry, 10th grade. And for that, we have them do a lot of presentations. And then we also have the Bible part of the curriculum as well. So it's kind of separated into two parts of the semester.
Okay. Yeah.
And I teach 7th through 9th. So basically the same types of classes that he's describing. For 8th grade, I teach several Bible classes, just Bible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we have that opportunity. But actually, like 80-some percent of the students who come to our school do not come from Christian homes. Mm-hmm. In Taiwan, the local religion is a folk religion that's a mixture of Taoism, Buddhism, and just some other like Confucianism, some other practices. And so some students that come to our school, their families are really heavily ingrained in those things. But then some of the students that come to our school, their families really don't do anything or believe anything, or they haven't been taught anything. But parents will still send their kids to our school because we're famous for English mm-hmm. proficiency. And actually, I think our math and science program is quite good. And so parents send their children there knowing that we teach Bible. And so I've, you know, had 7th grade Bible class. And in my 7th grade Bible class, the first day, our first lesson is an overview of the Bible. So it's called Sin and Salvation. Mm-hmm. And we were about halfway through a lesson and one boy raised his hand and he just said, "Teacher, what is a Jesus?" He had never heard the name Jesus, so I thought maybe it's just because it's in English. So I told him Yesu. I told him in Chinese, and his classmates were telling him too, and he still had never even heard the word Jesus before in his own language. So some of these kids are really just hearing it for the first time. And then in 7th grade through 10th grade, we do the whole scope and sequence of much of the Bible. So that's kind of how our Bible curriculum is laid out. And then our school also has a religion department that is made up of the foreign teachers plus several Christian national teachers. And the Christian national teachers help with counseling and also help. We lead some of the chapels, and then those teachers also lead some of the chapels. So then the students also have the opportunity to participate in chapel. Mm-hmm. At school.
That's fantastic. And we're going to talk more about life at Concordia Middle School and also what you guys get to do outside of your time at Concordia Middle School in just a minute. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Concordia University System is comprised of 5 universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth, talking with Andrew and Noel Schaff, serving the Lord in Taiwan as middle school teachers at Concordia Middle and High School in Jai, Taiwan. And before we went to break, you were describing the English and the Bible classes that both of you get to teach at Concordia. I'm just curious how these Bible stories, the classes in Bible teaching are, how families feel about this, or what the how Christianity is thought of in the families and the students.
Well, there's a real mix. Yeah. Some of them are pretty resistant. Some of them, it's there because maybe they're a teenager and they're not really excited about anything we're teaching them. But then we have some who don't seem to matter or care either way. And then you get some students who will tell me, they'll write, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I believe this and this and this and this that we've learned in Bible class, and I pray, but my parents won't let me be baptized yet."
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have those who are kind of almost persecuted by their families. And then we also have students, like a student that I taught named Tracy, who I taught her class probably 15 years ago. And her class had a lot of wild boys in it. And I kind of felt like after every Bible class, I thought, oh, it'll be a miracle if anything got through to them, because it just felt like chaos. And then a few years back, Tracy came back to our school as a student teacher. And she was an English student teacher. And she came and told me, "You know, Noelle, the reason I wanted to be a teacher was because I loved your Bible class so much." And she's like, "And then when I was in college, I started to think about what we had learned more. And I started to go to a church by my college and take baptism classes. And then I was baptized." And Tracy, she now goes to the Lutheran church next to our school. And now she's bringing her husband there. He's not yet a Christian, but he's been going with her as well. So, you know, you see, we've been there long enough now that we have seen some seeds that have been planted, you know, years ago that are now growing.
Yeah, so that's really incredible. Yeah. Tell me more about you get to teach, you said, music of cultures around the world. What is that like to teach that class? That's a class I would like to take.
Well, I love different cultures and I love studying that. So I thought it would be fun to let students know. It teaches a little bit of geography because I have them find the country on a map and color it. And then I teach them what the capital is. And then I introduce the food and different sites that you can visit while you're there. And, mm-hmm. and they learn about that by writing sentences and then talking, you know, kind of sharing what they have written on there and what they're learning. Then we listen to some music. So I try to research on what popular music is there that also show some of the culture in the music video. And that's always an interesting time. We get some various responses to the music. And other times I'll find out students really like the music of you know, Sweden or example. Yeah. And they're like, "Can we listen to this?" As long as it gets the students interested in talking about it. Also, I can learn a little bit more about that culture too.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to other Asian cultures are very, very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like K-pop and J-pop. And those are some very big topics. And my students will always suggest, "Let's listen to this person." So that's always exciting.
Yeah. What do you guys love about being able to do what you do, being able to teach at Concordia Middle School, teaching English, teaching Bible? What is it that you love about being able to do this work?
Well, I think, like I said, when you see that God is definitely faithful to his word, it never goes out void. You see your students come to faith, and that's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very rewarding.
And even if you don't see it, you know that anytime you preach the gospel, it doesn't go unheard, and it's the Holy Spirit working through it, and you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're looking at numbers and staying there because this many people have been converted, then you're going to fail. You have no idea how that's working. And we're there to water the seeds or plant them in some cases, and who knows what will happen in the future, but you always know that it will. There's always something happening as long as the gospel is preached. And yeah, in my case, I have students that are mostly hymn-ha, you know, okay, we're learning about Jesus again, so we kind of know that. And then we always have them ask a question or do a comment at the end of each Bible lesson. And I always look for the students who write down something interesting instead of, you know, Jesus is love is this is a typical answer for a lot of that. And I can tell that they're not thinking, you never know.
Well,
really,
instead of giving you an answer that they think you want to hear, like give a genuine question.
Genuine question, or if they actually attack Christianity in their answer. I actually like that more than just the generic, because it means that they are thinking about it. In my opinion, I think that's better, because then they have this question or something that's...
Well, they're being convicted.
They're being convicted,
rather than
something is happening in there. And I like to take those...
to it.
Yeah.
I like to take those students aside and talk to them. I'm like, why did you write that, you know, Jesus should die or something, you know, whatever the comment is, you know.
Yeah.
And then they can explain it, and then I have a chance then to actually, wait, I'm talking to this kid now. Whereas you don't have a chance to talk to everyone in a class, and I'm teaching classes of 23 students, and, yeah, you know, seeing them only once a week, it's a little bit difficult. And having that extra opportunity to actually talk to them about something important is a great witness there.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can have a little bit of a better relationship. Even a negative relationship, I mean, it's something for them to think about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So for me, it's the preaching of the gospel and having the students do that. It's also having the relationship. As a teacher, with some classes, you can have a very good relationship with some of your students that you see multiple years, and you see how they grow and learn. And I think that's very important for sharing the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think also our school, the national teachers that are there, they're probably some of the lowest paid teachers in Taiwan with some of the most experience. And they work tirelessly because of their commitment to the mission of the school. Mm-hmm. So they're just wonderful to work with.
Yeah. How have you grown over your time on the mission field as educators, as in your Christian vocations? How has this time on the mission field changed you? How have you seen yourselves grow and grow into the vocations that God has given you?
Well, you learn forgiveness, and you also learn result of sin quite easily when you're seeing it, especially in other cultures and in everywhere you go. And so it's teaching me patience. I've had to learn a lot of patience. Also, you know, with driving in Asia anyway. And also you have to learn patience with that too, but that's another topic. So
yeah, I would say, patience and just growth of faith, because I think having to be patient requires faith, you know, having to be patient through a lot of things. We've been in Taiwan at times of, you know, just really hard times politically or with our physical health, or, you know, just other things like that. So I think just having faith that God will provide what we need and equip us with what we need, I think that's grown.
Yeah. Tell me about your lives outside of Concordia. Tell me about the community you live in, the church you guys go to. How have you been plugged into that community in Jai?
Well, we have a wonderful church. We're partnered with the CLC in Taiwan. And we've been part of a church, Salvation Lutheran Church in Jai, for all the years that we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that church grow, and then we've seen it wane quite a bit. And we've been there through so many positive things and also a lot of hard things. Satan attacks it quite a bit, but we're it's an important church, and we go to that each Sunday.
Yeah, we worship there. Pastor Alex Wu, who is actually trained at the St. Louis Seminary, is a pastor there. He's Taiwanese. And so he works also with the synod there. And Andrew has worked teaching a English Bible class every Friday night. And actually, all the foreign teachers have. I've taught some of the school-age students. But every Friday night at our church, we offer English Bible study for people from children through adults, varying English levels. And we also have pastor and his wife there to help if there's translation needed. And you've seen some women come, Andrew, for like 21 years, the entire time. You still have
close to it, like 17, 18 years.
Yeah, there have been people from even other churches in the community who have come, and then they brought their friend. We have a Mormon who's
lady
come
that
to our Bible study
for 18
years.
So.
Yes, and ask a lot of questions. And your recent topic was what Lutherans believe and how is it different from other denominations?
Oh,
because we in the class, there's a Presbyterian who comes faithfully, a Mormon who comes faithfully, and they
and some
have a lot of questions. And then they will occasionally also worship with us or come to worship because they say, you know, when they come to our church, they know they're going to hear the law and the gospel and they're going to hear Jesus preached. So then sometimes they will come to our church because they know that's what they're going to hear.
Yeah.
There.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So our church community is very nice. And then we also have other communities we spend time with. There's a local college nearby that they've asked for some teachers to teach a little class afterwards. So I've done that.
After school.
After school. And I've done that for, let's see, engineering graduates. So
nice.
They're working on their master's or doctorate, depending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gone there and I have a different topic every other week. And I always do the holidays. So Christmas and Easter and then Halloween and a lot of other topics, and always end up getting on the topic of religion is a popular one. And I can talk to them about Jesus, and they know that I teach at a Christian school. So that's no problem. This is a non-Christian college.
It's a public
university.
Yeah.
And so I love that group of kids because they want to be there and learn English, and then they're also interested in that. And also politics. So that's another part.
Well, they
it's
like
always
to
fun
ask
recently.
About that. Yeah. But yeah, you had a lot of students from that. The foreign teachers, we host a Thanksgiving meal for just people in the community, really. Like co-teachers, school administration, people from our church, people from our friends' churches. Mm-hmm. So all kinds of people come. And we have to have it in the school cafeteria because it's too big to be in anybody's house. And this year we had a whole bunch of students from the Philippines and India come from Andrew's class. Yeah, at the college. Yeah, they came.
It's really fun. You got to have Thanksgiving.
And we like to host in our home a lot also, too. Friends or other missionaries' children we have over for holidays because we like to decorate our house a lot for the holidays. And we've also we have groups of students in Taiwan. You can have students come to your house for special occasions, like in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have done that for holidays or things. So,
yeah, that's really fun. All right. Before we're done, I got to ask you about your favorite food. Andy's not here, so I am asking this question in his stead. What is your favorite food that you love eating when you're in Taiwan?
Oh, that's a hard question.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, one thing I miss the most when I'm in the United States of Taiwan is the tea. Taiwan, actually, we live near the mountains that grow a lot of the world's best tea. And so there are tea stands, like drink places, like you might have a coffee shop here. But there are tea stands everywhere where you can go and get all kinds of teas and all kinds of fruit drinks with teas. And they're very affordable. And yeah, so we get several a day. We literally have to call the tea stand that's near our home and say, hi, it's us. We want our usual. And then they know. So
they hook us up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's one thing.
Yeah.
I might have to think a minute before I think of my absolute favorite.
Yeah, Taiwan's famous for stinky tofu, which I like. I'm one of the only missionaries who likes that. But I love that stuff. And it's okay. It's not my favorite food, but I do like it a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of Taiwan has dumplings and soups. So the ones that I actually look forward to is I always eat a Japanese food for lunch called onigiri, which is a triangle with wrapped in wrapped in seaweed.
The dried seaweed and
so,
rice.
Yeah, rice and seaweed. So I like that one a lot. And then I also like the traditional Chinese, family style food.
Oh, okay.
So we have kung pao cashew chicken.
They have that there, yes.
And
it's
very
a little
good.
Different from the Americanized
different.
Version. Yeah, it's not as breaded or maybe sugary, but
that's us.
But yes, my favorite Taiwanese food is some kind of steamed dumpling.
They have a
lot of good steamed dumplings, and I really, I would say probably one of those is my favorite.
Very good. Yeah. Where can we find more information about you guys and your work?
Well, you can find us on the LCMS website.
Yeah.
You can find us if you search Concordia Middle School, Taiwan. You can find information about our school. It's in Chinese, but you can hit translate and translate the page.
There's also an English website with very old information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Andrew and Noel, thanks so much for joining me today. It's been really fun to get to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Andrew and Noel Schaff, serving the Lord in Taiwan as middle school teachers at Concordia Middle and High School. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.